Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Good morning, Oceans family. What a wonderful Mother's Day morning this morning, and I am so thankful to be sharing it with each one of you. I don't want to start this morning without just praying, so let's just close our eyes. There, wherever you are sitting, standing, hopefully, mums, you're in bed in your pajamas. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we just want to thank you for all the wonderful things you have done in our lives. Thank you for being the most incredible God. Thank you today for each and every mother that is viewing this sermon. I ask that you will bless them, that you will protect them, and that you will keep them safe in your hands all the days of their lives. We also lift up all our children, and we dedicate them to you again today. And we just ask that you will bless them and form a hedge of protection around every single one of them. And we thank you for that. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It is so wonderful for me this morning to be tuning in with you. I'm so excited. But before I start this morning, I first of all would just like to honor my own mom. Mom, I know you're watching this morning, and I just want to say thank you so very much for everything you've done all my life. You've been my biggest cheerleader. I think my fondest memory of you is when I was a little girl playing around you while you were praying. I will never forget that. So thank you so much. I love you. My mom-in-law, Mom, I think the biggest gift you could ever give me is your son. You've got the most wonderful son. He's my most wonderful husband. Thank you for helping, teaching me to cook lasagna. I can get the lasagna down, everybody. I really love you very much, too. And then this morning, I also have to just say happiest of birthdays to our 95-year-old great-grandma, Yaya. We love you. We hope you're celebrating a wonderful birthday, and we hope you have the most wonderful Mother's Day right there where you are. Lots of love. And then this morning, I do not want to go on with just saying thank you to my wonderful pastor, which also happened to be my husband. He has asked me to speak this morning, and I'm honored. I want to say that he is really a wonderful husband. He's always pushing me to be a better me. He's always there to show me to grow in the Lord. And this morning, I'm so thankful to have him in my life. And last but not least, I just want to say thank you to my Heavenly Father. Without him, I will not be here. I feel so blessed, and I want just to let everybody know that I take it very seriously being on his platform, and I just love him very much as well. So, let me start this morning with letting you know how I got to this message. Now, when I lived in South Africa, I had the privilege of living with a housekeeper. And guys, when we built our house, we actually built a room on for her, and she lived in our house, and she had a key into our house. So every single morning, me and Alex would wake up, and we would be served cappuccino and breakfast in bed. I would open my drawers, and everything would be absolutely perfectly packed. It was marvelous. My bathrooms shined. I can tell you that she cooked, like I said, every single night as well. And my floors got vacuumed every single day, mopped every single day. The toilets were cleaned every day. Our linen even got ironed. Can you imagine that? It was awesome. Now, fast forward a few years to coming to the USA. When we arrived in the USA, Anastasia was 4 months old. I had my family not with me, and all of a sudden, I was in charge of the house, and I had to do all the cleaning, and oh my goodness. That's all I'm going to say. Oh my goodness. I had newfound respect for American women. I'm going to tell you I'm one now. I got my citizenship in the beginning of the year, and let me tell you, it is the most exciting thing for me. But I first had to get all of that out of me. One of the things that was very hard for me was cleaning toilets. I have never cleaned a toilet in my life before. So that was a very big challenge. And then my husband had to love me very much because I actually shrunk all his clothes. And that was just to start. So if you know me long enough, you would know Naomi had to make a plan. They say a man make a plan, but a woman make a plan that work. So I jumped to work, I got my colored pens out, I got my schedule out, and I was gonna really get this thing down. So what I did was I would write the days of the week, and then I would even draw a picture of my house, of the different rooms in my home. I would mark them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then I would write Mondays, I'm going to wash the towels and room 4. Tuesday, I'm going to wash the linen and room 6. And you get the picture. Every day I would write down what I'm going to be doing to get my house clean. My husband convinced me to join a mommy meetup group, which was very awesome. I love my meetup mommies. And they will tell you my conversations most of the time went down like this. Hey guys, what do you use to clean your countertop with? How many times a week do you clean your bathroom? What vacuum cleaner do you use? All I wanted to know was how to get this house clean. It was my mission, and I was going to do it. So you get the picture, right? Now, let's face it. Every single one of you watching, including me, we all live in homes. Our homes may look a little bit different. Some live in trailer parks, some live in apartments, some live in townhouses, some live in mansions. And a few fortunate ones actually live in palaces. But we've all got one thing in common, and that is we need to clean our house. And it's not something you can get around. Doesn't matter whether you live in a trailer park or the mansion, your house needs to be cleaned. Because if you don't, there's a lot of things that can go severely wrong. You might get away with it for one day, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days. But guys, come day 4, the dust is piling up. There's plates everywhere in the house. There's trash cans are overfilling. There's an absolutely horrible odor. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't clean your house, it looks literally like a hurricane. If you leave it longer, it even gets worse. Then comes the cockroaches, the critters, the spider webs. And that is a place I believe none of us want to be at. So, you know, the one day I was driving in and I thought about this and I thought, okay, so I've got this down. My house is clean. I can have guests over. It smells great. But what about my spiritual house? And I was speaking to the Lord and I said, Lord, how does that even look? How do you clean your spiritual house? And the following very interesting conversation took place. And I want you this morning to go with me in your Bibles to Acts 7, 48 to 50. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? So I want you to take note. The Lord is not the one that come and live in our naturally built homes. He's telling us, I don't live in a house that a man makes, but there's another Bible verse that I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to. I'm going to give you just a little chance to get there. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." I don't think a scripture can be any more clearer than that. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I need to ask you this morning, as we go on, how clean is your house? How clean is your spiritual house? I believe we should put even more emphasis on cleaning our spiritual homes than our natural homes, because it's got an eternal value that lasts far longer than this lifetime. We have to ask ourselves, what makes our life messy and chaotic? Where do we even start? With lists, with color pens? Are you going to draw up pictures of your spiritual house? I think the most important thing this morning is that we start taking stock. You first need to know what you're dealing with. What do you need to get out of your house? What needs to come out? What do you need to get rid of? I'm going to be mentioning just a few today. But I want to ask you, after this service, make your own list. There might be ones that's not applicable to you. You might have different ones. But this is what Galatians 5, 19-20 says. "The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Guys, that's a very, very serious scripture. It means if any of these things are in your life, you need to get rid of it. Otherwise, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This morning, this is really a lot of food for thought, and I want you to think about it. There's a few extra things that I want to mention that I think is very important. You know, we obviously do a lot of counseling, and we speak a lot with people here in the congregation. And these following things are things that people struggle a lot with as well. They struggle with depression, anger, addiction, sexual immorality, pride, covetousness, fear. A lot of these examples is very self-explanatory, but I want to highlight one today, because I feel a lot of us get stuck at this specific issue. And the reason for it is because it sometimes comes with us from when we were a little child. And this morning, I want you to leave this behind. And you can. So, it is lies. God loves us way too much to see us twisted with pain about things that's happened in the past. He does not want you to replay the past over and over in your mind. He wants you to forget about it like he forgets about it and move on and live a victorious life. A lot of you that's watching me this morning have heard things through your life saying you are worthless. You can never get it right. You're a failure. You got what you deserved. You were never loved. Your brother was always better. Or your sister was always better. You're not a good husband. You are not a good wife. You are not a good son. You're not a good daughter. You are not a good businessman. You are not a real Christian. These are all lies that the enemy feeds to us, and I want you this morning to really lay them down. I want you to take them, pick them up, get them out of your system, put them in the garbage bin, take it out to the pavement, and let the garbage man take it. Don't live with all those lies anymore. It just weighs you down, and it makes that your house cannot be clean. So this morning, I want to speak to you about a few cleaning detergents. There's so many cleaning detergents on the market, I cannot even begin to tell you. And there's so many cleaning detergents in the Bible. Just get reading and you'll find them all. But this morning I'm going to be speaking about three. I want to highlight three of them to you. The first one is discipline and self-control. Before I speak about discipline, let's go to our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. I want you to think about that. I do not need to stand here today behind the pulpit and tell you what self-control is, or discipline for that matter. We all know that. We got brought up with that. I do want to say, however, the choice is yours. And you know, it's just the choices you make from the morning when you get up to the night, whether you are going to exercise that discipline. Self-control, guys, there's so many things we have to have self-control over. Our emotions, addictions. You know, I always say this. If you walk in a room, lately when you watch television, the advertisements between the different programs are sometimes scary. And what happens if a little three-year walks in? You grab that control and you just change that channel super, super quickly, correct? So this is what I want to say. If your thoughts start going to smoking that whatever, if your thoughts go to watching that whatever, if your thoughts go to eating that whatever, if your thoughts go to everywhere it shouldn't be going, switch the channel immediately. Go out, grab a book, read something nice, do something valuable with your time. You've got the power to make that decision. The second point I want to bring to you this morning is endurance. There's a close relationship between self-control and endurance. Cultivating endurance is essential to our character as Christians. If we are going to achieve real spiritual success and fulfillment, we have to master our weaknesses. Otherwise, every time we test it in the area of endurance, some weakness, whether it's psychological, physical, or emotional, it will get us down. And we will give up at the very point where we should actually be holding on and enduring. You cannot quit. Never, ever, ever. As a Christian, you cannot quit. You have to run your race. Hebrews 6:11 to 12 says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." That leaves a lot for us to think about. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory as well. The last point of my detergents today is humility. I want to read a psalm to you, one of the most beautiful psalms, and I really, really want you to pay attention to this. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You have to come to a point where you are humble enough to say, "Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I cannot clean this house by myself. I need you. You create a clean heart in me, Lord, and then I will have a steadfast spirit. I want you to really think about that this morning, because a lot of us do sometimes think that we don't need it. We don't need a clean house. We don't need to fix anything in our lives. So humility is the third detergent. Now, I do want to say something. Sometimes we use the detergents and then we clean our house and then all of a sudden our home feels empty after we got rid of some of the junk. What does the Bible say about it? Matthew 12, 43 to 45 says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. The house is swept and it is in order, but something is missing. The house is empty. Therefore, we need to fill it with the most spiritual, the most important home improvement ever, called the Holy Spirit. Your house will be filled with the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Once your house is filled with all that wonderful things, your house becomes a home. And the Holy Spirit can be there and you can be everything that God has called you to be. Now, great. We've got all the detergents. What's next? We should have our daily cleaning schedule. So I'm going to help you guys today with one of the cleaning schedules that I use in my spiritual walk and that I think is imperative for every single Christian. You need to start your day by thanking God. Guys, there's no better way to wake up and to say, thank you, Lord. I thank you for a good night's rest. Thank you that you have given me another day. Thank you for putting breath inside of me. Thank you that I know today you are going to be going in front of me and behind me. Thank you for having a hedge of protection around me. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways. Guys, the Bible are not just there saying things. It is truthfully like that. If you consider God in everything, he will make your way straight. Thessalonians 5, 16 to 19 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We do not have to feel thankful to be thankful. The above scripture just tells us to be thankful in every task, even if it is scrubbing the floor, even if it is cleaning the countertops. You know, guys, I just quickly want to tell you a little story. One of the things that happened to me was when I arrived, I phoned my mom and I said to her, Mom, I absolutely hate cleaning this kitchen, because what happens is I clean the countertops and I pack the dishwasher and I unpack it, and you know what? It's just so monotonous. And my mom said to me, well, Naomi, I'm sure your sister would love to do that. Now, many of you may not know, but my sister is in a wheelchair and she's got cerebral palsy, and there's no way that she would be able to do anything like that. It got me thinking in such a big way, guys. You need to be thankful in everything you do. Because I can tell you now, there's people that wish they could do what you can do. So never ever overlook the small little things in life. Worship and praise him is my point number two today for your schedule. I'm just going to read you one psalm on it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I don't think I need to go too much more into worship and praise. I do think we've got a church that's got that down and that love to worship and praise him. The third point I have is repent. Forget of all the things you need and you want. humble yourself before the Lord, turn from your sin, and don't go back to it. Guys, I can preach a 20-point sermon just on that, but I do know that you know what repentance means. And therefore, I'm just going to read one verse to you about that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My point number four today is forgive. Let me just make this statement. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It is a decision. One of the most wondrous aspects of God is that when He forgives completely and in full. Micah 7:18 to 19 says, Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Isn't that just incredible? Everything you've ever done wrong, everything that can make you feel guilty, every accusation that the enemy could bring to you, God's already tread under His foot and He's hurled it into the depths of the sea. But there's one thing that we always tend to forget when it comes to forgiveness. There's also a place where we need to forgive, where we need to forgive all those who've ever sinned against us. I want you to think about it. Jesus taught His disciples the perfect prayer, and it was, Our Father, which art in heaven. And in there it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. That means we also need to forgive, because with the same measure that we forgive, we are forgiven. And I know sometimes it's difficult. I speak from experience, guys. It's not always easy to forgive. But you know what? The only one you're liberating is yourself. Because if you forgive, you are finally going to be free and you will set the other person free. And this morning, I would encourage you, if you have got anybody to forgive, make right this morning. The last point I have is word and prayer. And you know, we'll have to end off with it, because you cannot do life without the word and prayer. And although it's my point number five, it's definitely not the least important part. You know, when you walk through the day, you need to make God your refuge through His word. Through speaking to Him, He has to surround you. His presence needs to fill you. I want to read you Psalm 91:1 to 2 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. And then Psalm 91:9 to 11 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And that's the relationship you need to be. That's the relationship you have to have with God. He has to be your refuge. I tell you now, I pray with my kids every single night. And I do not finish a prayer as well, saying, Lord, please send your angels to just keep God around our house and around my bed. And when I say that, I know it's done. In fact, everything you pray, you know it's done, and God comes through for you. And that's just the most wonderful feeling ever. There's just a few extra pointers that I want to give you this morning. Don't ever sweep anything under the rug. Get it out. Clean it out. It mustn't stay there. Get everything out. If you don't clean deep enough, you will never remove the crust. And in all the crevices, things will fill those crevices inside. The only thing we really want to fill those crevices is the Holy Spirit. So make sure to do a deep cleaning, even if it takes colored pens, a book, a schedule. Remember, guys, no two houses look the same. Celebrate your uniqueness, your gifting, and your own style. I know God does, and He loves you most being just you. May your house shine this morning. Have sweet-smelling aromas. Be beautifully decorated palace, ready to host the King of Kings. If you want Him to reside within you, keep it clean for Him. Make sure that He's comfortable. Make sure that your worship comes before Him like a sweet-smelling aroma. Make sure that you are in His presence. Make sure that you get rid of all the junk and the garbage. Let it go. Moms, you need to remember. They always say, children, do not do as we say. They do as we do. And if you keep your house clean, little ones, even big ones, will watch you. And you will leave a legacy of clean houses for the generations to come, because it will be passed on from generation to generation. So this morning, even on this Mother's Day, while your feet's hopefully up and you're in your pajamas and you're watching this, I pray with all my heart that you will start cleaning your houses. And children, help Mom get your chores done too. Make it easier for her. Husbands, it's time to help with the garbage. This morning I want to say, there's so many feelings always around Mother's Day. I read so much, a lot of people, it's the saddest day of the year is Mother's Day. But I do want to say this, God's got you. Whatever season you're in, whether your mom is still here, whether your mom is not here. And for everybody that is a mom, I want to say happy Mother's Day. And this morning, we are going to end the service off with a song that my dad used to sing to me when I was a little girl. I loved it. He would always sing it in the kitchen. And it would be for moms that's still with us. And it would be in honor of our moms that's also gone up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want this Mother's Day to be special. I want you to take something from it. And I want you to know that you are blessed, that God loves you, and that you are a wonderful mom. And when you clean your house, you would be amazed at what God is going to do through you. Be blessed.
A dream mother walked up the heavenly stairs, and medals for mothers were given up there. Mentioned a million things Mom did for me, things I took for granted and never could see. If there's medals for mothers for all of the deeds they have done, if there's medals for mothers, Mama, you'll name everyone. A medal of honor was pinned on her there, a medal for patience and kind loving care. For duty, she won up above, but the biggest of all was the one for her love. If there's medals for mothers for all of the deeds they have done,
Hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.